Then today we're moving to the next Christmas theme of joy. And I'm glad today I can have joy, not because everything's going great in my life, but because He is great and greatly to be praised. And I can have joy. You know, happiness is what's happening to you. Joy is someone within you, and His name is Jesus. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. Christmas is a season of joy. As you look in the Word of God, and then tonight especially as you deal with what Mary, she rejoiced. Rejoice in God, her Savior. And we're going to look at the shepherds as well who rejoiced in the Lord. The wise men who rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And we can have exceeding great joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Luke chapter number 2, we discover those who missed out on the joy. Those who could have experienced joy. And that's my challenge this final week before Christmas. And next Sunday we'll be in here. This is and have Christmas on a Sunday. What a joy that is to spend time together in the morning service. And we're going to have time of celebration of the Lord. But this week is a week of each of us deciding whether or not we're going to have joy. Now, if you're looking for happiness this week, you may lose some happiness. You may not get the present that you wanted. You may not find that gift. You may not have happiness this week. The traffic, the shopping, all the lines and the difficulties may come into play this week. But you can have joy if you go to the Word of God this week. If you spend time in worship. If you go and serve the Lord. You can have joy this week that will be your strength. I want you to notice this in Luke chapter 2. We're moving back from the text and we see in Luke chapter 2 someone or those who may have missed out on the joy. Let's stand to our feet if you found your place. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 1. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." You can lose your joy with taxation, right? Verse 2. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, under Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want you to notice verse number 7. Jesus was laid in a manger. Why? Now, sometimes this passage becomes familiar to us. But it's pointed out here that he was laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there was room. Someone could have given up their room. Someone could have made room for Mary and Joseph and this newborn child. But instead, they sent Jesus away and missed out on the joy they could have experienced that Christmas. We opened up our service today with the Canticle of Joy. What a great job the choir did last week and this Sunday morning. I felt like we were in Christmas today. This was a wonderful, wonderful expression of worship to the Lord. But we sing the song, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let heaven and nature sing." Let me ask you this morning, have you prepared your heart? Have you prepared in your heart room for Jesus? You may not be in an inn today to choose whether or not to receive Him, to stay, to sleep. We understand we're not in that time frame of preparing Him physically a place to be born. But have you in your heart prepared room for Jesus? Because it's the difference between you having some joy this Christmas season and then you just going through your life from one high to the other, one happiness experience to the other, but having the joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart today is because you prepared room in your heart for Jesus. And you can make a decision today, no matter what is happening around you, no matter what's going on in our country, in our world, or any difficulty or situation, I'm going to prepare room for Jesus. And when you prepare room for Jesus, you'll find joy unspeakable. You'll find the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Here in Luke chapter 2, we discover there was no room for them in the inn. Now, look at this. In verse number 1, these were difficult days, the days of Herod, Cyrenius, these difficult rulers. Verse 5, Caesar sent out a decree for the world to be taxed. This was a required registration. Every 14 years, for military and money purposes, the whole Roman world would register. It's not convenient to get up from where you live to travel to a place of your parents' birth. It was an inconvenience. And if you think about all the things that we can just quickly lose our spirit over. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, and if it's a blue truck with prey behind it, it's probably me. And I apologize in advance. I learned how to drive through Need for Speed and through Cruising USA. That was my driver's lessons. But, you know, someone can cut you out in traffic, and you're having a great day. You could be whistling Joy to the World. The Lord is come. But if you've not prepared room for Jesus, when you get cut off in traffic, you'll lose your joy. When you have taxes to pay. When you get a letter in the mail. When you get something you've got to do, and it's a stress in your life, you can lose some joy. Think about these who could have lost their joy, and they didn't. Joseph and Mary. They had to travel. They had to move. These details were given to show what was going on. Here's a woman who's 9 months expecting. I've been around one now 6 times at 9 months. It's not a joyful time. It's a joy to the expectation of the baby to come, but it's a difficult time. The pains and the problems and the stresses. Think about it. If you had to be a 9-month expectant woman with a baby traveling 70 miles. Now, just getting in the car with our family, going up to the Harris Teeter is a chore and a stressor. I can lose my happiness in just about 2.3 seconds than the Honda Odyssey. Think about traveling 70 miles, pregnant, going to a place where family lives. Now that's a stressor. To see people that you haven't seen in years. Maybe some conflicts, maybe some confusion, maybe some difficulties. I don't know what was going on in Joseph, but I do know they were talking about her. Remember in Luke chapter 2 when the servants, they ran out of wine, and Mary says, now's the time to prove that this child that was born of me was the holy child of God. It was the Son of God. It wasn't some sort of situation of immorality. And she goes and she tells the servants to go find Jesus. And the Lord says, this is not the time that you're going to have that demonstration and full revelation, although he provides the miracle. But John 8, it was rumored that Jesus was born of fornication. All of them said that. They spoke of this. So imagine Joseph and Mary going to family. They're most likely talking about her. Has anybody ever talked about you? Said something behind your back. By the way, if you've heard something behind someone else's back that gave you a bad impression, that's called slander. People that say things to people's face that they wouldn't say behind their back, they're slander. And if they say to their face that they wouldn't say behind their back, that's flattery. Both are bad. But imagine traveling to a place that doesn't say a donkey, but most likely would have been a camel or some sort of caravan with people you don't know, everybody, and most likely this was the largest family, the city of David. It was the largest caravan, expectant woman traveling there, going to a place you don't know, to people who are talking about you. I heard someone say this, if people really knew you, they'd say a whole lot worse. But no, maybe you've been stressed, you know you've got to go to that party or that family's house or this situation this week, and there's a stress involved in it. It's a time you can lose a whole lot of joy. And so they go to this place, and when they get there, guess what? Nobody wants them. There's no room for them in the inn. Now, sometimes we get this idea that when they arrived in Bethlehem, and they went to Bethlehem because they were required to register every 14 years. Joseph would have done this at least once before in his lifetime. But every 14 years they would register, they would go to the city of their birth. Bethlehem, I'm told, I thought it in my mind, I was thinking it was some sort of metropolis like Wilson or Elm City and Sims. But, you know, it was 300 feet That's all it was, 300 feet. The tiny. The city of Bethlehem would have easily fit on our property. Everybody knew everybody. I believe when they showed up at the inn, I think the word had already spread in the family about Mary's condition and what was going on. They go there. Nobody receives them. We get this idea that they showed up and immediately the baby was born. But it says, no, that they went there, they arrived, there's no room in the inn. But the idea is that when the days were come, they should be delivered. And the thought is that they were rejected for some time. But when the time was come, Mary brought forth their firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. It does not say a stable, it says a manger. This word manger in Luke 13:15 is translated stall. If you've ever been on a farm, if you've ever been around horses, if you've been around cattle, there's a stall. Jesus was born, it doesn't say stable. He was born in a feeding trough in a stall. In fact, if you go a little bit further, when we use the word inn, we get the idea of the country inn and suites, and what a marvelous place, as folks are connected, and that's where we put people up here. But the country inn and suites, this is not the country inn and suites. The word for inn that the Samaritan brought that one that was wounded, there's a specific term in the Bible for that kind of inn, a public lodging place. This was not a public lodging place. They didn't necessarily go from one hotel to another. In fact, the city like Bethlehem, there probably wasn't even a public hotel. It was 300 feet. There were just houses. They went to families' homes. The word inn meant guest chamber. It was required in Jewish law to have a guest chamber room for those who were traveling to receive the strangers. But for whatever reason, they heard about Mary, or perhaps in their selfishness or situation, they said no to a 9-month-old expectant woman and didn't make room for Jesus in their guest chamber. That makes it a whole lot more personal. Jesus was born most likely in the garage. The bottom level of each house in Hebrew days, even today, was like the stable. You didn't park, didn't have cars, they had camels. Maybe a cow. I don't know if there was a cow lowing. I don't know if there were donkeys there. Most likely there were donkeys there. Some sort of animals. They said, we don't want you upstairs in the inn, in the cataluma, the guest chamber, but you can go down to the basement. How many times we regulate our worship of Jesus and reception of Jesus to the very bottom basics? When Jesus belongs in the prepared special places in our heart. Let every heart prepare him room. And Jesus was born in a feeding trough. Jesus was born in a garage. Jesus was born in the basement of this house, in a stable, if you want to look at it that way. But there was no room in the inn because they didn't make room for Jesus. And just imagine if yours was the house and yours was the guest chamber, if yours was a place at the table at this day prepared for Jesus to be a part of the beauty of his birth. But the family, he came into his own, and his own received him not. He went to Bethlehem. He went to the right place. Bethlehem prophesied in the book of Micah. He went at the right time, prophesied by Daniel where, when he would born. He went in the right way in humility as he prophesied not to be for himself or for his people. But there was no room for Jesus. You see, I would never do such a thing. Let me challenge you this Christmas season. Prepare your heart. Let every heart prepare him room. Oh, we'll make room for Jesus if it's just a few short minutes of a day. We'll prepare room for Jesus if it doesn't interfere with our schedule. We prepare room for Jesus if it just makes sense to us and fits in. But listen today, he doesn't just want to be first place in your life. He wants to be and is preeminent in your life. Christ is your life. He's the whole thing. Hey, listen, everything ought to center around him. And when you have every day, every moment of the day, every moment, every motive about Jesus, you'll have joy. If not, you'll just go from one happenstance to another and you'll end up losing that joy. Finding joy in Jesus is preparing your heart and making room for Jesus. How do we do that? Well, first, you prepare room for his word. if the people of Bethlehem were paying attention, if they were following the prophecies of Daniel, if they were listening how Isaiah prophesied his coming, Micah prophesied, they knew that their little town, this little 300-foot assembly at some point in this time frame would bear forth the Messiah. Did you know that in those days, the wise men who came to Jerusalem, those that weren't even from Bethlehem, those that weren't even Israelite, but hung on to the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel, the wisest of all men, who said that there would be a star that would arise in the east, from the prophecy of Balaam, that a star would arise and then a scepter. And they were looking for, these astronomers were looking and wondering. And when they saw the star, they followed. And they went and found that place of Bethlehem. And when they went to Bethlehem, remember what happened? Herod said, where is he going to be born? And they opened the Bible and read in Micah, well, he's going to be born 7 miles down the road. And none of them made the 7 mile walk down to Bethlehem to worship Jesus. None of them. If they had just been reading his word, they would have known Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephratah, fruitful. The town would bring forth the bread of life and show forth the fruit of righteousness. Bethlehem was where Rachel was buried. Bethlehem was where the story of Ruth occurs. If they had just been in the word, if they had just prepared him room, when they saw Jesus and they were in his presence, they would have known. Well, you and I every day must make him room. Make room for God's word every day. It's one thing. No, this is not some sort of bondage that if you're not in the word, you're just the worst person in the world. This is an opportunity. Do you understand? God has given us his perfect, preserved word of God. It's one thing to miss being in the word. It's another thing to miss being in the word. Do you know the joy that comes from being in his word? Job, in his time of trouble, said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Have you made that your desire every day? And when you're in God's word and you're spending, you've got a joy. There's a joy that just washes over you as you read about his word. And as you know about Jesus. Listen, if the people of Bethlehem had just been in the word of God and had just waited for God, they would have found Jesus and they would have found joy. God reveals himself to us through his word. The Bible is not some sort of glorified quote book. It's not some sort of book where you get this attention and affection. The Bible is the revelation of God. And as you discover who God is and you discover what God's going to do in your life, you can have hope, you can have peace, and yes, you can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Think about who made room. Mary made room. Remember, she had all she had was an announcement from an angel that this was going to happen. She didn't say to the angel, how can this happen? Or she said, how will it happen? She didn't believe. She didn't express unbelief. She expressed faith. How will it happen? She believed what the angel said. She believed the word of God and she obeyed. Joseph made room. Talk about faith. Here's somebody that finds his fiance. He finds his spouse wife great with child. And he still follows through. And he trusts the word of God to carry it all the way through. The shepherds outside of the city made room for the word of God. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men made room. But the rest around missed out. Don't miss out on the joy of the Lord that's your strength this Christmas season. Don't miss out on what Jesus has for you. I think about here in North Carolina, we're first in flight, right? 1903, December 1903. After many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine, as they called it, off the ground. They telegraphed their message to their sister Catherine. This was their telegraph. We have actually flown 120 feet and we will be home to Ohio. Ohio tries to claim the first in flight, but it didn't happen in Ohio. It happened at Kitty Hawk. Amen. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and she showed him the message. Look what happened. Look at this message. The editor looked at it and said, oh, that's nice. The boys will be home for Christmas. And he totally missed the biggest news. That man had flown. Hey, don't get caught up in the presents. Don't get caught up in all the extra things of Christmas and miss out on the most important thing. Jesus Christ is born. God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ entered this world. He came as a perfect baby. He came and lived a perfect life. Listen, today I can have joy today because of Jesus. Don't miss out on the greatest part of Christmas. Don't miss out on the most important part of the message. Christ is born. Number two, make room in your heart for worship. Make room in your heart for worship. God gave every opportunity. Think about it. Jesus could have showed up on the scene. If I were someone to show up at Bethlehem, I would have probably come as a bodybuilder, or I guess as myself. No, I'm kidding. No, but not at all. I would have come as a bodybuilder. I would have come riding on a white horse or a Lamborghini. I would have come with the fanfare. Hey, I am here. At least some sort of shining white light to appear and descend down from heaven. That would have got their attention. But it probably would have inspired fear. Jesus came in a transcendently brilliant way. He came as a baby. Now think about it. Who or what is more perfect than a baby? He demonstrated his innocence as a baby. Now, who or what gets more attention than a baby? You bring a baby will demand attention. If you're not paying attention, they'll demand attention. But again, we've had a few of them over the years. But everybody, when they see a baby, what do? Naturally, aww. Nope. Nobody when they see a baby builder goes, aww. They go, okay, cool. Scary, but cool. Jesus didn't come to be cool. He came in the innocence and the purity of a newborn baby. Imagine those people in those house who would have naturally turned away an expectant woman. Now, expectant woman also get a lot of attention. How long till the baby is born? Now, be careful when you ask that question. The person may not be expecting, but you know, sometimes they ask, how long till the baby? Every time, how long? 4 months, 5 months. Mary, next month. Now, imagine a family member showing up at your house expectant with a child. Would you send that one away? No. Imagine a newborn baby born in your basement. Would you turn that one away? No. They had to remove every natural and normal attention and affection not to have room for Jesus. Can I challenge you this morning? Think about Jesus. Just for a moment, think about his perfection. Think about his glory. Think about his love. Nobody will love you like Jesus. Nobody cares for you like Jesus. There is no friend like Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, listen, this world may fail you. They may disappoint you. They may leave you, but Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will never disappoint you. He'll never leave you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a savior. He's a king. He's a redeemer. He loves you. He's there with you. He promised to be with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. Think about Jesus for a moment. Think about how much he cares. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Think about what he does. He's interceding for you. If you knew that somebody was praying for you in that next room, if you knew that Jesus was praying for you in that next room, would it change what you think? Right now, he is interceding for us at the right hand of the throne of majesty. He loves you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He's in you, the hope of glory. Think about Jesus. How could you not have a little bit of joy in thinking about Jesus? You see a baby, you get a little joy looking at the baby, you smile. But you think about the Son of God and God the Son, you'll have joy. Worship. Worship. The shepherds worship. The wise men worship. Simeon and Anna, we saw them at the first Sunday of this series, worship. John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was in the presence of Jesus. He leapt in the womb. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, Baptists are filled with the Holy Ghost, and Baptists can jump and shout. John the Baptist did. He leapt and he worshiped in the presence of Jesus. An unborn baby worshiped in the presence of Christ. Zechariah worshiped. Mary, the Magnificat, tonight or next week, I don't know, we're going to look at the message on Mary. But she, the Magnificat, she worshiped. She says, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. but those in Bethlehem are probably stressed, messed, and depressed. They weren't blessed. Okay, I wasn't planning that, but you know, it works. Because they missed out in their heart for worship. Have you intentionally taken time this week to worship the Lord? Have you focused on the words? Worship's not about you, it's about Him. It's His worth. You want some joy? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship Him. You say, well, I'm not a very expressive person. That's fine. You just find yourself a place where nobody's watching and you worship the Lord. Just you and God. Corporate worship's important. I understand that. But personal worship is how you have corporate worship. Spend time worshiping Jesus. I will that every man lift up, Bible says, lifting up holy hands in prayer, pray and praise and worship the Lord. I'm so, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening in my life. You don't know the diagnosis that I face. You don't know that bill. You don't know the taxation, the rejection. You don't know the location they were. But Mary and Joseph experienced joy because they were in the presence of Jesus, worshiping the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so can you. Prepare your heart for worship. Personal worship. Corporate worship. Worship follows the word when you make room for Jesus. Number three, prepare room for witness. The angel would announce good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The shepherds would make known abroad the saying which was told them by those that were the angels. We mentioned Daniel. Daniel had such a faith in God and such a witness as a wise man in Babylon hundreds of years earlier, hundreds of miles away, that there were people in Bethlehem looking for Jesus because how much Daniel worshiped the Lord. There are people that travel from afar. Hey, listen, with your life, does your life show the worship of your God? Does your life witness that you really believe on Jesus? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when the unlearned and the ignorant, meaning those who are unsaved, those that don't know Christ, when they come into a place and they see people that worship the Lord, people that respond to the prophesying, the preaching of God's word, people that know that God is real and they witness for Him and speak about Him, when they see that, they report that God is in them of a truth. Can people watch your life, follow you around this next week and say, God is in them? Or when you're cut off in traffic by the F-150, I don't know, I'm just thinking generally. Or when that bill comes in the mail, they see you losing your happiness, or they see you sustaining a joy unspeakable and full of glory. New Testament Christians were known for one thing, and that was joy. Joy in unspeakable trials, joy in unspeakable persecution, joy through pain, through problems, and it was through their testimony that people came to a saving knowledge of Christ because of their joy. To the witness of the gospel, to the witness of a life changed. And then finally, prepare room this week for his work. Luke chapter 2 continues with the prophecy of Simeon closing that Jesus, as a boy, saying he must be about his father's business. What was his father's business? Jesus Christ came to live and die for you and for me. That babe of Bethlehem grew up to be the boy of Nazareth. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But Jesus kept the innocence and the purity of a baby. Jesus did not deserve to die, but because of his great love, he took our place on the cross of Calvary and he died a sacrificial, substitutionary death. And when Jesus breathed his last breath, as he shed his precious blood, he declared, "It is finished." And somebody was there, still worshiping. Her name was Mary. The only one that was there at the birth was Mary. She was worshiping. She was waiting. She was witnessing. The only one that was there at his birth and his death was Mary, still at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, witnessing, working for Christ. And the only one that was there at his birth and his death and was there as a witness of the empty tomb that day was Mary. Still worshiping. Still waiting. Still working. Why? It says that she took all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Let every heart prepare him room. The expression and example, I believe from Scripture, was Mary. who carried Christ. Christ was in her, the hope of glory. And I believe a great picture of us today. Now listen today, preparing for Him room, being ready for the Savior, rejoicing in God our Savior, working and waiting and witnessing His birth, death, and His glorious resurrection through His Word is the picture of someone like Mary, ready for His Word, receiving His Word, carrying Christ as a testimony of witness for the world. Where do we see that? Revelation chapter 3, written to those who were saved. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." That message was written to a church. It was written to those who were lost. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, I do believe that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is knocking on your heart's door to come to Him in faith. But that witness was written to Christians. And Jesus Christ is knocking at our door. Well, I can't believe those in that first day would send Jesus away. I can't believe the innkeeper or the people of Bethlehem didn't go and worship Christ. I can't believe, well, how many times is the Holy Spirit of God? How many times does Jesus have to knock outside the door of your own heart? Spend time in my word. Go witnessing for me. Spend time in worship. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's talking to Christians. And this Christmas season is no different than any other. He's knocking on your heart's door to worship Him. He's knocking on your heart's door to know Him through His Word. He's knocking on your heart's door to go speak for Him and witness and to spend time in His presence. He says, "Those that open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." What does that mean? Well, Jesus was a southerner. There's dinner and then there's supper. Okay, that's the, I will sup with him. We're going to have supper together. Time with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus is sweet. I'll sup with him and he with me. Have you supped with Jesus? Have you spent time with Jesus in intimate, pure fellowship? Or are you hearing the knocking going, "Ah, not now, I'm busy. We've got a taxation going on. I got to prepare for this. I've got to," you know, only Christmas shopping we've done so far has been through Christmas gift exchanges to find the gifts and give them. But we've got to start our gift shopping tomorrow. Pray for us. Pray for our family. We're going to lose our happiness a few times. I need the joy of the Lord, don't you? To hear that knocking? Sup with me. I want to come in and fellowship with you. That's Jesus. Have you prepared room in your heart for Jesus? Charles Spurgeon went to this passage and he didn't talk about the innkeeper as much as the manger. Because the room that Jesus found, the only room for Jesus was the manger. There was room for Jesus in a manger. You say, "Well, I can't have room for Christ." Spurgeon said this, "Well, says one, I have room for him, but I'm not worthy that he should come to me. I did not ask about worthiness. Have you room for him? Oh, says one, I have an empty void that the world can never fill." Okay, so you have room for him, Spurgeon says. "Oh, but the room I have in my heart is so base." So was the manger. "But it is so despicable." So was the manger. "But my heart is so foul." The manger must have been. "I feel it's not a place fit for Christ." Nor was the manger fit for him, but it was where he was laid. "I've been such a sinner. I feel as if my heart had been a den of beasts and devils." Well, a manger had been the place where the beast had fed. Have you room for him? Never mind what the past was and has been. He can forgive and forget. It matters not what even the present state may be, if thou mourn it. If thou hast but room for Christ, even if it's just the dirty, filthy manger, you make room for Jesus, and that's where he will be born. In Bethlehem, they had no room for a place for him to be born. He was born in a manger. King Herod had no room for his kingly title out of fear and jealousy. In Nazareth, they had no room for the honor and fame that was due him, saying he's a carpenter's son possessed of a devil. The Pharisees had no room for his power and authority and said he cast out power by the prince of devils. They had no room for his direction in the Father's house and said, "By what authority do you do these things?" They had no room for him on the Sabbath day, over which he was Lord of the Sabbath, and they criticized him for healing. They had no room for the worship of those who, harlots and thieves, saying this man receives sinners and eats with them. They had no room for him at every feast he attended, saying he's a winebibber and a glutton. The alabaster box of ointment that was broken and anointed his head and feet. Judas said, why was not this money given to the poor? They had no room, even in the hour of prayer of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. But they broke it through. They were either sleeping or they disrupted it with staves and spears. They had no room for even his rightful title and name, King of the Jews. If they put the title there on the cross, they said, tear that one down. They had no room for his clothes that he wore. They stripped him naked and he was crucified, and they gambled for his garments. They had no room for even a drink of water when he was on the cross. And he said, I thirst. And they gave him vinegar and gall to drink. When he died in agony and gave up the spirit, they had no room for his body to rest as they rammed a spear into his side. They had no room for the testimony that his dead body would have on the cross, saying, get it down before Sabbath day. They had no room for the truth and the proof of his resurrection as they paid money to say that his disciples came and stole away his body. Listen, there was no room for the Lord Jesus in his birth, in his life, and his death. The only place that Israel and Jerusalem, Bethlehem had for Jesus was an old rugged cross. But Jesus suffered, bled, and died on that cross for our sin. Will you make room for Jesus today?